It was fun, too, and well, I'll be eager to hear Greg's comments because we were excited to see these other guys get in the game. Some of these, it's kind of a welcome to college basketball moment. I mean, Daniel Freitag's out there for a few minutes and, you know, trying to get a bucket there, and he, you know, picks up fouls. But he's going to be someone I think is going to be fun to watch moving forward. Ricardo Greppi, Marcus Silver, who's been around here for a bit. But it matters, right?
It matters.
What you can do here, because you got 18 conference games still ahead of you.
You're stacking small wins, a little bit of confidence, and people don't realize how much the little bit of distance between our ears, that matters for 18 to 21-year-olds, because it's going to build a little confidence, a little familiarity. They are already great athletes. That's why they're here. Now you got to get them up to this new speed. I remember my first game, Marquette. I got absolutely dominated because that speed, you're just not used to that speed and that aggressive. But once you get a taste of it and it's in your blood, That's all they're going to be focused on. How do I get more court time?
And that's what you got to do. You bottle that, right? You bottle that experience and build from there. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 for an ID. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin a winner this afternoon in their final non-conference game of this regular season. The Badgers 76, Detroit Mercy 53. When we continue, we'll check out the Nissan Out-of-Town scoreboard. Back in 1 minute, this is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you, who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
Shh, do you want to hear a secret? You have to keep it between us. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is currently accepting nominations for the WBA Local Broadcast Legends Award. We'd like your help in nominating one of our community's best, Pamela Hilke. Here's where you come in. If you or someone you know is directly affected by the work Pam has done at WFHR over the last 47 years, send an email describing the reasons you want to nominate Pam to Laura Berg, Laura.Berg at civicmedia.us. And thank you for keeping this our little secret.
Wisconsin 76, Detroit Mercy 53 this afternoon as we get a glance at the Nissan Out-of-Town scoreboard. No issues for the 24th-ranked Michigan Wolverines today. An 89-58 winner over Purdue-Fort Wayne. The annual rivalry game between Illinois and Missouri belongs to the Illini this afternoon. 80-77, a game just getting underway. Out west, you got USC against Southern. And then later on tonight, Nebraska. Murray State's in the Diamond Head Classic. It's the rest of your Big Ten schedule here today as Wisconsin gets the win 76-53. Is still waiting for Butchie to clean up his mess out there at center court, but he's gonna go ahead and take it to the house here today. I thought it was another nice touch though, and if I think it's probably gone viral on social media for all I know now, but Butchie getting absolutely hammered by Charlie Wills, Joe Krabenhoff, Greg Steensma, Sharif. Three beautiful birthday pies just all over Butchie. But then you brought one out for him, kind of a peace offering. Here, you can actually eat this one when you're ready to eat this one.
Yes, shout out to Metcalf's. They make the best fresh chocolate chip cookies. I got him a baker's dozen because I knew that – that deserved an actual birthday gift, and he loves cookies more than anything.
That was good. And the best part is the kids and his bride, Megan, all were laughing hysterically. So that's a beautiful part of this. So Wisconsin a winner today, 76-53 over Detroit Mercy. We'll have Scott Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Looking for a fan favorite at your tailgate? Pork has you covered. Not only is it nutritious and delicious, but pork's got that flavor that your family expects. Firing up the grill? Try chops, brats, and ribs. Making appetizers or finger foods? Add bacon, ground, or shredded pork. Visit WPPA.org for recipe inspiration and to learn where you can source local pork. Wisconsin Pork Association is proud to support the Badgers and our farmers all year round. And you should too. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it, because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
It's the Get Holiday Ready sales event with Hank and Sam from the Ford crew. Today, a new shipment of inventory.
Hank, what's going on?
Another hauler full of new Ford trucks and SUVs, Sam.
So much SUV capability. Is that?
Ford F-Series, the best-selling trucks for 47 years. And a big selection means...
big savings?
Yep, which means...
it's the best time to buy.
Well done, Sam. And time for America to get holiday ready with Ford.
Based on 1977 to 2023 CY Industry reported total sales.
This holiday season, fill your family's table with Jones Dairy Farm all-natural sausage, dry-aged bacon, naturally smoked ham, Canadian bacon, and Braunschweiger. I'm Philip Jones, CEO and sixth generation Jones, and I know the importance of bringing generations together for the holidays, from little ones to not so little ones, and those in between. Everyone enjoys Jones products. Jones Dairy Farm, making the holidays better since 1889 and a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers defeat Detroit Mercy here today, 76-53. Wisconsin is 40%, 40.6% from the field, 26 of 64, 7 of 35 from distance, 17 of 19 at the foul line. The Titans, 33% from the field, and mentioned before the game, they just don't shoot a lot of threes, and they got eight today, making half of them, and just 5 of 6 at the free throw line. So, you know, on a day where you have to, this is why in this new, you know, the new way of looking at stats, you're thinking 40% for the field, that's not so hot, but they're 1.13 per possession. Yeah. And that, you know, a game like this, they may have had their goals a little higher than that, but that's still that's a good number to have, and I think even better is the 0.79 per possession for Detroit Mercy. Just, you know, different combinations in there, Charlie. We continue to see Nolan Winter playing well. Steven Crow in 21 minutes, he gets 15 points and 4 rebounds. A game where, you know, Max Klesman didn't score. He was 0-for-5, but that's okay because they had other guys picking him up. You know, Tanjay single digits today. Blackwell ends up with 12. Just a lot of different guys getting in the act, including Marcus Ilver, who hit a couple of the threes.
And that's crucial. As you get in the Big Ten, you're going to need another 6'8 guy that's in there. A, he's grabbing rebounds. He's playing good defense. And he hit the open shots.
He did.
You really need those. And the other big thing that was a part of this was the bench points. Have 22 bench points come off and the spread to be as big as it is. That's a big deal. Again, they got to get those extra guys, extra minutes.
36-14 points in the paint in favor of Wisconsin here today. again, you take care of business. Detroit Mercy is rebuilding. It's now 5-9, but remember, it's a program that won just one time all of last season. So Mark Montgomery with a massive rebuilding going on, and certainly some promise, but they also have three guys out, two for the year. So they came in shorthanded. The Badgers did what they needed to do to get their 10th win.
Yeah, and Detroit Mercy should not be hanging their head low at all. As freshmen coming in there, I mean, freshmen dominated outside of Lovejoy, but like to come in and play competitively, they did not beat themselves. They only had 8 total turnovers in the game, which it could have been a game where they had a lot of turnovers. So I feel for them, this is also a notch in their belt to say, hey, we've got this. A couple extra plays, not letting some inside stuff happen. You're getting W's.
Then they'll start to jump back into league play. The Titans will 1 week from today as they make the trip to Youngstown State. As for the Badgers, they're 12 days away, right, from their next game. Is that
from
Iowa? Right? Yeah, the Iowa Hawkeyes coming up on January 3rd, and then 3 days later they're in Piscataway to play Rutgers. Now it gets meaty, so they'll enjoy a little bit of downtime. They can relax these guys for a few days, just you get away from the game a little bit, but obviously taking care of your bodies, and then they'll get in some really good work because once it hits for good.
Yeah, you get 3 or 4 days off, and that's a great time to recover and let all those muscles and all those things kind of recorrect themselves.
What's jumped out? We'll get Greg's thoughts on this when he comes out here as we continue to wait for the Badgers head coach. But through 13 games, and they've won 10 of them, what has jumped out to you the most? If I say, Charlie, get your thoughts on Wisconsin basketball through 13 games. Comes to mind.
Ooh, man. I really like the transition since the 3-game skid. It wasn't just then. They were starting to do it. They just lost track of it in the 3 games. That inside action. When there's Crowell getting 20 minutes, when you've got winners and he's getting better every game, when there's that domination, they play well because, as you know, Matt, the defense has to suck in. They have to come in and now start protecting the rim, and when they do, really open jump shots, and Wisconsin's just going to normally knock those down.
No Badger played more than 26 minutes in this game.
Beautiful.
So you see, that's exactly what you want in a game like this where you have the clearly better team. You get a lot of different combinations out there and a lot of guys just getting some run, whether it's 1 minute, 3 minutes, or 10 minutes plus like Marcus Silver. They're all measured by it, right, is no better than I do. So a chance for a lot of these guys to get that much-needed game experience, get a taste of it, and then build from there.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to say it, the taste. Once you get that taste in your mouth, you know what you need to do. You know how you fit into the team because all it is really, it feels like theory because all you are is in practice. So when they get that taste, now I know how my team needs me, and you keep elevating them.
All right, we'll take another break. Wisconsin 76, Detroit Mercy 53. Back with more in a moment as our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy
band. It's painful concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Over all guys that can fit really well into this system, we were talking about it post-game. It's the taste. Once you get the taste, you understand where you are and what your team needs from you. Right. What are you hearing from those guys as, or maybe it's just the other guys, they're getting to see their teammates do something other than be at practice.
Well, I think what you see is, today is a great example. What you see on the floor, regardless of how many minutes, you know, Hodges and Knopp didn't get a lot, neither did Jack Robinson, but you see how kind of the pecking order. It's not, you can't BS players. They know who the better players are and who's ready, who's not ready. And it's our job as the staff to help them for those that aren't ready and point things out. But I think, you know, when you get on the floor and you have good things happen, because Marcus Ilver has been practicing pretty well, you know, Ricardo Grepi, he didn't play as well as he's been practicing. And it's hard sometimes when you're young and you come in bone cold, you know, but you have to maximize those. And same thing with Amos and Janicki. And I thought Cam Hunter did some good things when he was in. You know, couldn't get a shot to go down for him. But, you know, a lot of things that we can learn from. And, again, you take what you do in practice. You can't just turn it on when we open up the doors of the call center. You have to be able to perform and be consistent day in and day out. And I think the guys that are – showed some things today are the guys that have been the most consistent in practice.
And it's probably worth reminding, and we talked about it during the game broadcast too, that, you know, Cameron Hunter battled some illness issues in the early weeks of the season. Daniel Freitag had surgery 2 weeks after helping his team to a state championship. His summer work started late. So, I mean, these are guys who are still, like, just getting into the rhythm of getting out there every day too.
Yeah, and Daniel Freitag's 18 years old. You know, he's a freshman.
By the way.
Yeah, I mean, so there's going to be growing pains. And probably it's harder to crack that in terms of rotation in today's world just because of the ability through the portal to stay mature and old. You're always going to have somebody older ahead of them until you're the old guy. And competition's going to be steep, and it's what we wanted. You know, we wanted steep competition when we added guys to the roster because it's going to holistically make us better. And tell you what, Cam Hunter and Daniel Freitag have forced Kamari McGee to be better. You know, so they've been pushing him from their spot, so to speak, on the ladder, and that's helped Cam get better. It's helped Janicki get better, and that's what a good team does. They keep challenging each other, but at the same time, they know we're all one unit. You don't want divisiveness and individualism within it, and they've done a good job of that.
We were talking a lot about McGee's ability to be that spark plug defensively, offensively. It just seems like in this season – you were talking about how everybody's raising him up. I mean, I feel like every time he's on the court, he raises the bar.
Yeah, I mean, 3 points, and you would think, man, his impact is way more valuable than 3 points, and that was a play in transition, a three-point play. But the ability to defensive rebound like he does at that size, he adds a thrust to us in a perfect role for him coming in. Him and Gilmore, and really Janicki starting to do that too, where they help us step on the gas when they step on the floor.
Absolutely.
Final thought, it'll be 9 years ago tomorrow that head coach for the first time at the Wisconsin Badgers, when you guys beat Green Bay. 9 years.
Wow.
Pretty good. A lot of wins there. They 196 now, by the way, for those scoring at home.
That was 26 turnovers. I remember that.
Of course, forever the coach. That big lead wasn't so big late, right?
Yeah, it was a great first half. The problem was we had to play the second.
But you won it.
We did.
You guys found a way. You brought it together, and we fast forward to here, even how much the game has changed with all the stuff that we know with the portal, with NIL. You said this multiple times, is now that you're ready for a little break. Chemistry is probably more of a challenge than ever before, perhaps, but it's pretty good with this team.
Yeah, it is really good. It's really good with this team. And it's a credit to those guys, because you have guys coming from different places and guys that have come in and taken pretty prominent roles, and everybody has fit in and wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And we talk a lot about that, and that's cliche. And playing for the front of the jersey, but they hear it all the time. And we have older guys, and Klesmet and Crow and Gilmore and McGee, even being an in-state kid, even though he's a transfer, Max was a transfer, that they understand and have a great appreciation and love for this place. And when you have older guys that can help message that to younger guys and new guys, we've had to do a lot of Wisconsin basketball education for John Tanjay because he's been here for 5 months. So just understanding and appreciating the history, and now go make your own mark on the history of this program and this group. The togetherness has helped us, and that's a big piece of us going forward here over the next 3-4 months.
Well, go appreciate win number 10. Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Thanks all to you and all your listeners out there. Yeah,
all right, appreciate it. Take care. All right,
thanks.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard joining us courtside as Wisconsin a winner today over Detroit Mercy 76-50. Happy holidays to you and yours as well,
yes,
Charlie.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. It's going to be great.
I know. Good.
Won't be as probably chill as the Badgers should be doing. with 6 and 9-year-old, it's going to be pretty exciting.
Ah, there you go. Well, I'll make up for the laziness that you wish you could have. I might set new levels of laziness here.
That's okay. You're allowed.
Days. So, all right. That'll do it for us as Wisconsin defeats Detroit Mercy here this afternoon, 76-253. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield, under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Charlie Wills, our engineer Dave McCann, and Aisha Jackson, back in our network studio, this is Matt LePay wishing you and yours the happiest of holiday seasons. Be warm, be safe, and we'll talk to you on January 3rd when the Badgers host the Iowa Hawkeyes. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. And by Fabic Rents. For all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Fine within about an hour or two after the judge making that determination, in the wake of all of that history, which really is a sideshow to the ultimate prosecution of this case, the defendants took up that decision on appeal, as they can. And they appealed that then to the Georgia Appeals Court. And it's been pending since that time, basically stopping Scott McAfee from further presiding over in the pretrial matters as Judge Juan Merchan did before the trial in New York. He hasn't yet tried this case, so we don't have any post-trial matters, but moving apace with various things. All of that suspended while this issue of whether or not Fannie Willis should be taken off the case, including her office, or whether or not this appearance of impropriety was sufficiently satisfied by the removal, by the departure of this co-worker, this co-member of the prosecution team who leaves that team. Well, it turns out, much to the surprise of many people, that the Georgia Court of Appeals just this past Thursday disqualifying Afani Willis, the Fulton County prosecutor who brought this election interference case and prosecuting it vigorously against Donald Trump and his allies, surprising many people, and again, causing some additional disarray in this one of the two cases that still remains pending in the criminal arena. And 2-1 decision, a 3-judge panel there, reversing the decision of the trial court, Judge McAfee. Again, in March of this past year, he did permit the case to go ahead, requiring that this other individual leave the prosecution team. No reason to dismiss the case at all. The office, again, supervised by Fani Willis, swiftly, very quickly indicated they're going to appeal that decision to the Georgia Supreme Court. So we have not yet heard the last of this. She is not going away in the wake of this particular decision by the appeals court. She is going to take it up to the Georgia Supreme Court. And, of course, if it stands at the Georgia Supreme Court, it causes great disarray. Doesn't mean necessarily the case will be dismissed. Indeed, the appeals court said that the dismissal sanction would be too extreme, but said that the sanction identified by the trial judge, Scott McAfee, was not sufficiently severe. That, in fact, to reestablish the sense of integrity among the public, what you need to do is you need to get Fani Willis off the case, take her office off the case entirely. And under Georgia law, there's a panel decision that will basically come about. The local district attorneys will meet. They will decide who it is that takes this case on in the wake of her dismissal, if it stands. And that's the decision that now will go to the Georgia Supreme Court for their decision, ultimately delaying this matter and certainly throwing it into dramatic disarray, some dramatic disarray that was bemoaned in part by the one dissenting voice on the appeals court. His name is Benjamin Land. He said, you know what? We have no business overturning the decision of the lower court. We should have kept in place exactly what Judge McAfee had done. He said this. He said he was particularly troubled, that is Judge Land, by the fact that the majority, that is the two people who voted to throw Fani Willis off the case, the fact the majority has taken what has long been a discretionary decision, meaning there's judgment here. It's basically you've got the matter in front of you. You're looking at the witnesses. You're figuring out what their credibility is. A discretionary decision for the trial court to make. And we've converted it, he said, Judge Land said, to something else entirely. Went on to say this, criticizing, again, dissenting from this view that Fani Willis needs to be taken off the case. He said, if this court was the trier of fact and had the discretion to choose a remedy based on our own observations, our assessment of the credibility of the witnesses and weighing all the evidence, then perhaps we would be justified in reaching the result declared by the majority. But he added, but we are not trial judges and we lack that authority. Even so, Judge Land is not the presiding voice of the panel here. He does not win. And the two who decided that Fani Willis has to be off the case, they're the successful jurists, if you will, in this case. Theirs are the votes that stand. Significantly, Fani Willis recently won re-election, a landslide. The people apparently want her to keep in place, and that is the interest that the appeals court, at least two members of it, feel they need to vindicate by throwing her off this case. So we will see more about that down the road, but certainly in the wake of the dismissal of the federal cases, in the uncertainty right now of what's going to happen next in that New York State case, Juan Merchan has authority to go ahead and bring that to resolution. The Georgia case almost certainly now into some oblivion, not clear on exactly what will happen next. Certainly nothing in the near future. If anything, further petitions, further arguments that while Donald Trump is president, that nothing should happen in that case as well. Whether or not the appeals court and the Supreme Court there in Georgia buys into that theory, whether all of that is suspended while Donald Trump is president, we do not know, but we'll continue to monitor all of this fascinating intellectual jurisprudence going on in America. And ultimately, as to all of these criminal cases, plainly no longer the significant prosecutions about which many of us spoke many, many months ago. When we continue, we're going to talk more about Donald Trump's involvement in litigation in America, including his attack through litigation on our media, as Amicus Law Review continues.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
CBS News Brief. Do you think 2025 is going to be a good year? Our polling finds that depends on your political party. CBS News Deputy Director of Surveys, Jennifer DePinto.
Among those who feel discouraged about next year, a group that includes a lot of Democrats, their top reason for feeling that way is Donald Trump becoming president.
DEI is DOA in President-elect Donald Trump's eyes.
And I'll end all of the Marxist diversity, equity, and inclusion policies across the entire federal government immediately.
Trump spoke at a conference of young conservatives in Arizona today. Thousands of Amazon employees are on strike at facilities nationwide. CBS News New York reporter John Diaz is at one on Staten Island.
They also tell us that Amazon, which is a $2 trillion company, is not paying their employees enough money to just make ends meet. So they are demanding better benefits and, of course, more pay.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers get ready for Monday night.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints. Green Bay will be without safety Javon Bullard and linebacker Quay Walker, both with ankle injuries. Jaire Alexander practiced all week but remains questionable. But Matt LaFleur says, knock on wood, right now the team's pretty healthy.
I just think that this is such an unpredictable sport in regards to when guys get injured or whatnot. So we're in a good spot right now.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Wizards 112-101. Bobby Portis with 34 points for Milwaukee. College hoops, Marquette held on to win on the road at Xavier, 72-70. Cam Jones had 20 points. Head coach Shaka Smart, though, asked how he would grade him.
B-. I'm hard on him. There's nobody I'd rather have in the country. I wouldn't trade anyone for Cam Jones, but he can be better. He can be more efficient. He has to understand that if he doesn't have an angle, he's got to get to 2 feet. And he's got to be strong with the ball.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, we'll see snow mixed with freezing rain. A winter weather advisory kicks in and goes through Monday. Winds will increase to about 20 miles per hour out of the south. For Monday, snow and 31, a couple inches are possible. Monday night, clouds and 19.
Right now, it's 28.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political consultant Joe Sapecki joins us in another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Amicus Law Review. My name is Jim Santel. Turning now to the president-elect's litigation, his promise to and apparently his working on meeting that promise to go after the media in America. Among the threats and among the actual lawsuits filed against media outlets without merit, their frivolous actions, just this past week, Donald Trump suing the Des Moines Register. Latest legal action on Donald Trump's stated intention to and actual pursuit of the media. He has said, we have to straighten out the press. I have to do this, he is saying. Just this past week, this latest legal action on Monday, Donald Trump filing a lawsuit against a pollster named J. Ann Selzer, her polling firm. And here it is, the Des Moines Register and Gannett, which is the newspaper's parent company. They own a lot of other media outlets throughout the nation. The lawsuit, this is civil litigation. He has no right, of course, to bring any criminal litigation. The suit, which is civil, was filed in Polk County, Iowa. And according to all of the records on it, it is accusing Ms. Selzer, again, who's the pollster here, of brazen election interference for a poll that published shortly before the election, showing that his opponent, Kamala Harris, the vice president, was leading in Iowa by 3 points. Now, we know in the end that Donald Trump won Iowa fairly handily, and as he has in the past. And again, on Monday of this past week at a news conference in Florida, he not only previewed this lawsuit, but explained once again the reason why he has to do this. His lawyers, interestingly, bringing this lawsuit, not under any defamation theory, because he can't. We'll get to that in just a moment or so. But bringing this lawsuit under a particular variation of Iowa law, it's called the Iowa Consumer Fraud Act. The Iowa Consumer Fraud Act. That's the basis upon which he is bringing this meritless lawsuit. And that really is the point, that under this particular piece of legislation, the elements of the civil offense that he has got to establish there simply are not there. Here's what the complaint says that he brought. The complaint says that the releasing of the Iowa poll in the newspaper there constitutes a practice or act. The person here, in case of the defendants here, is how we'd understand the legislation. The person knows or reasonably should know is an unfair practice, deception, fraud, false pretense or false promise, or the misrepresentation, concealment, suppression, or omission of a material fact with the intent that others rely upon that kind of conduct. That's in violation, according to Donald Trump, and yes, his lawyers, who've got to know better, as set forth in his lawsuit brought in Polk County just this past week. The law specifically bans the deceptions or misrepresentations in connection with the advertisement, the sale, the lease of consumer merchandise, the solicitation of contributions for charitable purposes, all kinds of commercial things sort of related to material facts or things that can be seized upon with some clarity. And interestingly, it has been used in other areas that are instructive here. The Iowa Attorney General's Office, for example, used in a 2020 lawsuit against a stem cell therapy provider for allegedly unfounded claims about preventing agency. Again, kind of a commercial fraud notion. 2017, a court barred a provider of brain-boosting herbal pills from selling them in Iowa after another complaint from the Attorney General saying this is fraud. 2019, Attorney General served lawsuits and was successful against several nonprofit animal rescues that allegedly funneled dogs bred in puppy mills into communities that banned their sale. Again, fraudulent things perpetrated on the community. On the individual side, we've got cases alleging that a vaccine left a teenage boy bedridden. No support for that whatsoever. All kinds of cases out there in which the law is used for commercial purposes to stop commercial fraud. Not this case. not able to establish the elements of the offense. And so the question comes, what is Donald Trump and what is lawyers doing here? And the answer, of course, is what we know. This is not done to be successful. This case will be dismissed, but only after a long period of time. We'll get pretrial discovery likely. We'll engage in depositions, a financial imposition imposed upon not only the individual defendants, but also upon the Register itself, which, again, is a legitimate journalism outlet. Plainly not perfect, but again, in this particular case, not doing anything in the nature of commercial fraud, simply publishing the results of a poll that turned out to be inaccurate. That in and of itself is not commercial fraud under Iowa law. And yet this proceeding will go forward with that discovery, with pretrial activities of all kinds, will not reach trial. The presiding judge will almost certainly dismiss it at some point, maybe in years ahead. We don't know. We don't know after motions are filed. But the point of this simply is to get the attention of America and to pursue this continuing allegation that somehow he has been victimized by media that's simply doing his job and threatening plainly to do more of this. We know that the Des Moines Register case is not the only one out there that he is pursuing and will pursue in the future. We know as well, as I indicated before, that this is not a defamation lawsuit. This is not the kind of thing where he can come in and say that the newspaper defamed him, because he knows, and his lawyers know at least this, the New York Times versus Sullivan, that's that 1964 landmark case that said that you can only sue media outlets if you show that you're able to prove the normal elements of defamation, that is, a publication of something that's false and it's defamatory in a literal sense of the word, but also have to show that the statement was made with actual malice and the defendant either knew the statement was false or recklessly disregarded whether it might be false. Donald Trump now knows. Maybe, but certainly his lawyers know that under the Sullivan standards, there's no defamation here by publishing news of a poll. And so the case is not brought. This is not a defamation lawsuit. This is under this peculiar invocation of the Iowa Consumer Fraud Act. And it's for that reason the case will be dismissed. This is frivolous. This is frivolous, and this is without merit. And yet it's going to be clouding and impacting the conduct of other litigation there in Polk County in the state of Iowa. And that's the other impact of this, pushing out the legitimate actions in the civil arena that can, in fact, be brought by legitimate litigants, both plaintiffs and defended by defendants. All of that, in some ways, pushed off, supplanted in ways big and small by the filing of these kinds of frivolous lawsuits. The lawyers know better. And Donald Trump may or may not know better, but it's clear that in the Consumer Fraud Act, there's no case here. Nonetheless, now the newspaper and the other individual defendants, including the newspaper's owner, need to defend against this and will be spending money and time and resources doing just that. And that, in the end, plainly is Donald Trump's point. Let's go overseas to a more positive story coming out of an horrific event. We have talked about this before, coming out of Avignon, France. This will be the third time that we've reported on this major case. Horrific, almost unbelievable in its violent dimensions, having to do with the violent rape, the sexual assault of Gisele Pellicot over a period of 10 years by her husband, Dominique, and 50 other men in Avignon and the surrounding areas. What do we know about this case in particular, and why is it back in the news just this past week? Well, just this past week, Dominique Pellicot, he's 72 years old, who admitted during the course of a months-long trial that he drugged his wife for almost a decade and invited strangers into the home that he met on the internet to join him in violating her, engaging in this sexual violence. And I'm hastening to add once again that this is violence. This is not sex. This is a power move. This is powerful violence in the nature of aggravated rape. And indeed, the law enforcement authorities responded to just that. On Thursday of this past week, Pellicot and others convicted of aggravated rape, of this powerful event, of this power crime perpetrated on her, and other charges also coming out of these horrific events disclosed by law enforcement to Gisele Pellicot when they provided her with pictures of of the events themselves, the videos themselves. Gisele Pellicot becoming, as a result of this prosecution, plainly a victim with a capital V, but also a hero in many, many ways to not only people in France, but around the world. Why? Because she decided not only that she would support this prosecution of her husband, the things that he did to violate her, her integrity as a human being, her status as a woman in France on the face of this planet. She decided to go ahead not only to pursue this, but also to do it publicly, to let these horrific photographs, these videos that her husband took of these events be published in the public arena of the trial. And as a result, Gisele Pellicot becoming an icon over the period of the past several months in France, plainly a reluctant icon, but someone who now stands at the forefront of civil rights and human rights in France and across the country. In the wake of the verdict entered just this past week, a crowd of protesters, mostly activists, gathered in front of the courthouse in support of Gisele Pellicot, once again saying that she has become this voice for reason and for goodness, even in the midst of horrific things being visited upon her. And yes, indeed, also her family. We talked previously about the impact that these events have had upon her family, including her son and especially her daughter, who may also have been the subject of the physical violence visited upon her by her own father. Voices outside the courtroom just this past week saying, "We are strong, we are proud, we are radical, and we are angry about what has happened in this case." The family, including Gisele Pellicot, leaving after months of trial, looking blank-faced, but plainly, heroes with a small h in the wake of what happened to them, victims of the highest order, but people who decided that they were going to turn this horrific thing that has happened to them, Gisele Pellicot in particular, into a voice for liberty, a voice of fairness and decency, and accomplishing what not a lot of other people can do by virtue of her public stance in all of this. The judges in this case also convicting 50 other defendants. The head judge reading the guilty verdicts one after the other to a packed courtroom, again, where Gisele and her other family members were listening to all of this. Pellicot was found guilty of raping the wife of one of the other men who was also convicted, and of taking and distributing these photographs and the videos of Ms. Pellicot. Her daughter Caroline and two daughters-in-law also appear in some of those photographs. An horrific event. The extent of this cannot be overstated. And coming out of it, two big lessons. One is the power of an individual to come forward and, yes, being supported tremendously by the victim support services there in Avignon, but also finding within herself things that would challenge any human being, finding within herself the capacity, the power to come public and to let this go ahead and let it be a voice. The case is a voice. She is a voice for women, and I would offer men as well, who are advocates for decency. And the second point is just that, decency and justice that can, in fact, even in the wake of horrific crimes, be addressed imperfectly, incompletely in the courts of our planet. In this case, a very different system. The international law system has contemplated all sorts of different procedures along the way. We knew the result of this case long ago based upon the testimony, but nonetheless significant in its coming to conclusion, an affirmation now of the power of that court in Avignon, and I would advocate as well around the world, certainly throughout France, throughout the United States of America, for people who find the strength inside themselves as victims to do the right thing, even in the midst of this horrible things having been visited upon them. Gisele Pellicot, a national hero, I would offer an international hero for advancing our sense of right and wrong, of decency, of what sexual assault is, the power move, the power violence, the power crime that it really is. And standing today in the wake of this horrible event, which will forever color her and the rest of her life and all of the lives of her family members. Nonetheless, a hero for what she has done, a justice hero in France and across the planet. When we come back in our final segment, we're going to talk about what the Supreme Court has coming forward based upon the decisions that it made just this past week to hear additional cases in major areas affecting our lives here in the United States. Stay with us for that discussion.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants, three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW System.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Amicus Law Review. My name is Jim Santel. This is the last segment of our two-hour program here this weekend. Justice, law, government, all interacting in our nation, in our state, and beyond. Let's talk about some other things the United States Supreme Court did just this past week, having previously discussed a bit in our first hour the dramatic impact that the Supreme Court has in our lives. Mentioned briefly in our first hour these dramatic cases called Bruin and Heller that changed our understanding of the Second Amendment, that give rise to many of the gun problems that we have in America, by establishing this notion that the Second Amendment gives you a personal right to own weapons in America, to have them on your person, to have the capacity constitutionally to carry them, whether it's closed carry or open carry, all of those things coming out of Supreme Court cases called Heller and Bruin. And of course, there's more of that. As I indicated, we've got this Vanderstock case pending for now on whether or not ghost guns can be regulated by the ATF. That may or may not result in a decision coming up in May or June or July of this coming year. But guns and our understanding of them in America, as we talked about them at great length in our first hour, also coming out derivatively from the very decisions made by our Supreme Court, establishing rights that did not exist for most of our nation's history under our Second Amendment. So the significance of what the Supreme Court takes and the cases it does not take cannot be overstated. Last week, we talked about a few cases. The Supreme Court said, nope, we're not going to review those cases. We're going to let the lower court decisions stand. This week, going in just the opposite direction, the Supreme Court adding to its docket that's now above 50, three more cases. And you have probably seen in the news something about each one of these. Certainly the first one, very significant. Supreme Court will hear arguments as early as January 10th, next month, early 2025, over, that's right, TikTok's effort to block that federal ban on the platform if it is not sold by January 19th. Recall well, the federal legislature, our Congress, imposed that ban on TikTok. The announcement from the Supreme Court comes days after a lower court rejected TikTok's request for a temporary pause of that ban. Lower court saying, nope, we're not going to interfere with the legislative action. TikTok had argued that a pause in what the legislation would accomplish would afford the Supreme Court some time to weigh the case. And that certainly would have been the situation. But what happened was that in a ruling earlier this month in December, that lower court, it's a three-judge panel of the Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. Many of our Supreme Court justices come from that panel, rejected the ban that was imposed upon TikTok to overturn the law, TikTok seeking a stay in what our legislature has done. The court found merit in security concerns about potential data collection or content manipulation that was undertaken by the Chinese government. And if the Supreme Court upholds the ban, it will take effect, interestingly, one day before the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump, who has signaled in many ways that he would consider seeking to reverse that legislative ban on TikTok. Very complicated, but the Supreme Court deciding is going to have oral argument on January 10th, and maybe, just maybe, issuing some decision shortly thereafter that they can decide these cases whenever they would like. TikTok now before the United States Supreme Court. We know that in the past term, the United States Supreme Court handled, or more accurately, did not handle two cases having to do with abortion, basically saying we're not deciding to decide anything on abortion. Indeed, abortion is back before the Supreme Court in this term. The Supreme Court on Wednesday saying it will consider South Carolina's move, its legislative move, to cut off Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood. This is the latest abortion-related case. Plainly, since the justices overturned Roe v. Wade 2022 in that Dobbs case, the court agreed just this past week to take up a state appeal. This is the government, the state of South Carolina, appealing a lower court ruling that focuses on whether Medicaid patients have the ability to sue, whether they can sue over the right to choose their own qualified provider. The case will probably be argued in spring. California, in 2018, had moved to cut off Planned Parenthood. The organization uses Medicaid funding for family planning health services rather than abortions. But Governor Henry McMaster said any public money sent there results in the subsidy of abortion, he said, justifying this cutoff of Medicaid funds to Planned Parenthood. The Fourth Circuit, once again, United States Court of Appeals, blocked that move after a challenge from Planned Parenthood and a patient also involved in this litigation. It found, that is, the appeals court found, that the federal law lets Medicaid patients choose their providers and sue if necessary. This one's, again, principally a case involving who can sue, whether they can sue under Medicaid. Fourth Circuit says, yes, you can. Supreme Court now taking this issue up from the Fourth Circuit and plainly once again bringing back to its docket issues related to abortion. Plainly, Sam Alito was only too happy in 2022 to say this is a state matter. Didn't say it explicitly, but hoping that abortion would no longer be on their docket. Four members of the Supreme Court taking this up, saying that, yes, indeed, we'll weigh the state court move to cut off Medicaid funding from Planned Parenthood, going to be argued sometime in 2025, a decision presumably thereafter, sometime in June, maybe even July, abortion back on the docket of the Supreme Court. And finally, coming out of Wisconsin, a religious case. Supreme Court on Friday of just this past week agreeing to decide whether charities that are run by religious groups have to pay, whether they're obliged to pay unemployment taxes to cover their employees. Now, the reality is that most, but not all, states generally exempt religious groups from having to pay into the state's unemployment tax systems. Most states, not all, exempt religious groups. So federal law does exempt religious schools from having to participate in the federal state program. But the Supreme Court has never explicitly ruled on the question of participation by charitable organizations that are run by religious groups. And now as a basis for its decision to grant this writ of certiorari, the decision to take up the lower court case, the court has agreed to tackle this question squarely on its face. Case brought by Catholic Charities against the state of Wisconsin. The Catholic Charities applied to the state for an exemption from paying unemployment taxes for its employees. But the state of Wisconsin, the Labor Commission, refused the application on the grounds that the charitable group was engaging in activities that are not religious per se, and thus not entitled to be exempt from paying unemployment taxes. Again, an issue under the First Amendment to our Constitution. More of all of that plainly in future editions of Amicus Law Review. For this weekend, happy holidays, everyone. We'll be back again next weekend as we talk more about law and justice and government here on Amicus Law Review. Have good holidays, safe and secure. All
you're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for an all-new live show. We'll preview the big Monday night football game, the Green Bay Packers. Brady Ewing will be here and many more surprises. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Have you ever heard of a marten? Not Martin the person, but Martin the animal. It's Wisconsin's only state endangered mammal, and now there are new efforts to protect its population. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The Federal Department of the Interior has awarded the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission more than $800,000 for recovery efforts for American martens. Jonathan Pauly is a professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison. He says silvicultural practices and logging within local national forests altered martens' preferred habitats.
This work is really trying to understand how do we manage habitat in a meaningful way on these working landscapes to increase marten habitat and connectivity of these different subpopulations to ensure martens are here for the foreseeable future.
Pauly says the grant money will bring together a diverse